I went to Florida Bible College, 1964. I had transferred from up there in Tennessee Temple, in Chattanooga, Tennessee. I made a swap because I saw a difference in the presentation of the gospel. I saw a difference in how the gospel invitation was given. It doesn't really matter too much about how many people go to the foreign fields if they go with the wrong message. It's not that we need a lot of more preachers. We just need preachers with a clear gospel. They're everywhere. So maybe that's why the scripture says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every preacher. Creature. Wouldn't it be neat if everybody said the same thing? Because there's something that is so very important. And that is, when it comes to how a man or a woman goes to heaven, it's got to be the same story. There shouldn't be a difference in it at all. We should all say the same thing. We may say it differently, but we got the same truth in on the gospel. When I went to Florida Bible College, I had to take the book of Galatians. Chapter 2 really stuck with me. That the truth of the gospel might continue with you. The truth of the gospel. Therefore, I want to, once again, for the sake of our missionaries, to refresh your mind, not only in giving you an enjoyable time and wonderful fellowship, a great place to stay and good food. I want to refresh you concerning the mission, the gospel presentation. Lest you get to the place where you think that I need to change it in order to get more people. There's nothing about the gospel that needs to be changed. Amen. You may need to learn certain things that we can do. And we want to be on social media as much as anybody. But the gospel has to stay the same. It does not change. There's nothing we can do to improve it. We just need to declare it. So I want to do a little refreshing. I may not show you one thing you don't already know. But if someone says, stir up your remembrance, stir up your mind upon the things that you're supposed to know and supposed to remember, lest we get carried away with all the noise of what's going on. The gospel presentation and the gospel invitation. I don't want to rush through this. I want to take my time, and I want you to read what I took the time to put down. No gospel presentation is true unless distinction between permanent salvation and temporary salvation is clearly understood. Majority of people believe they have to do something in order to qualify heaven. So they have a false gospel that produces a false hope and a wrong destination. So there's a little CD that we used to send out to everybody that was done by Hank Lindstrom on how permanent is your salvation. Salvation by grace can only produce a permanent salvation. And you hear a lot of people talk about grace, grace, grace. But if there is no permanent in that salvation, there is no salvation at all. You're either saved forever or not saved at all. When it talks about going to heaven, it means that I should be able to do the one thing that God says to do, and I'd be good to go. When he says in the book of John in chapter 3, you know, Nicodemus, ruler of the Jews, came to Jesus by night, said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do the miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus says, I am very impressed. He says, unless you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless you're born again, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So you can't see it and you can't enter it unless you're born again. But if I am born again, I get it. I get to go if I do this one thing. I'm born again. John 3:16 tells us how to be born again. And that's why he says in John chapter 1, he says, as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. So when I become a son of God, I am born again, born into God's family. If I do that one time, I'm good to go. At the very moment that I do that, when I trusted Christ as my Savior, 60 years ago, in a little old living room, wasn't in a church. I didn't go to church. I heard the good news. Salvation by works can only produce a false hope salvation. There's many people who think they're going to heaven. When you read Matthew chapter 7 and it talks about, Lord, have we not done many wonderful works? Cast out demons? All these things in your name? So they had already made Christ the Lord and the master of their life because, Lord, Lord, have we not? So there's people who are serving God and making Christ the Lord and the master of their life. And Jesus says, depart from me, I never knew you. So evidently, lordship salvation is not salvation. Telling an individual they have to repent of their sins, turn from their sins in order to be saved, is works for salvation, because turning from your sin means stop being bad. Committing your life to Christ means start being good. That makes salvation by works and means that you have to stop and start and maintain in order to qualify to go to heaven. That's why a lot of people, they don't know where they're going when they die, but they're saved. They say they're saved. Temporary salvation refers to those who claim salvation by grace, but also declare you can either lose it by bad works or prove you never had it by a lack of good works. I'm a preacher. I hear all of this stuff. I've preached across the nation. I've been in a lot of churches. I've read a lot of books and seen a lot of tracts. And first thing I do when I go into a church is look at their tract rack. Turn it over and see what did they say you got to do to be saved. And it'll blow your mind. We don't want our missionaries with an unclear message. All our missionaries are to be clear on the gospel and maintain that clarity. If you no longer want to maintain that clarity on the gospel, you need to resign from our missions conference. I want everybody on the same page. Because this is so important. It's the truth of the gospel. We want to encourage people to support missionaries, but you've got to be able to maintain that steadfastness on the truth of the gospel and suffer for it if you need to. Do without if you need to. But don't ever compromise the gospel. No gospel presentation is true unless distinction is made. And then I wrote this in here so you can see it. It's in yellow. Can you see it? Doubts are hindrances to spiritual growth. You see, you can't grow strong in the Lord when you're always worried about your salvation. That's why many people are trusting in sand, trying to build on sand. So the first statement I have up there on your left, never place a so-called new believer in a stalemate where they do not know if their salvation is permanent or temporary. I will state this. I, Yankee Arnold, I am a soul winner. I believe that we ought to go deep and wide. Many Christians are only about an inch thick, like asphalt. And it's not long before it's going to crack and things are going to come up through it. We want to be wide, but the Christian needs to go deep. And some Christians are only deep, but they never go wide. You can have deep Bible studies and study the scriptures and know the Hebrew and know the Greek and see so deep into the Word of God and never win a soul. But you glorify yourself because look how much of the Bible that I know. You're not a soul winner. You know nothing. You don't know the mission and you're not obedient to it. You don't know the Bible until the Bible controls your life. Shame on any so-called soul winner that believe that will get them saved and hope they'll figure it out down the road. I don't believe the Bible teaches that. Get a man saved and let him figure out whether it's permanent or temporary down the road. I don't agree with that philosophy. I don't believe it's in the Bible. I believe that whenever you understand the gospel, you ought to know right then and there on that moment, I'm going to heaven when I die. We were taught when we were at Florida Bible College, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. When do you have everlasting life? When you believe it. And if it's everlasting life, we always told him, God will never cast you out and never lose you. You can know that you're going to heaven when you die. And we always make sure they understand, when Christ paid for our sins and you trust Him as your Savior, it was for past, present, future. I got a payment for all of my sin. And I would often tell them, I couldn't go to hell if I tried. I haven't tried, but I cannot go to hell. And if I can't say that, it's because I'm ashamed of the truth of the gospel, because that is the truth. And I should not be ashamed of it because of what somebody may think about it. Without knowing the truth, they will naturally lean toward questions and doubts about their salvation. Because you see, when the natural man has a natural mind and he hasn't got a spiritual mind, it naturally will lean toward, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Because you do need to get some depth. And whenever a person trusts Christ as Savior, I have found out over the years, it's the new believers that are more excited about telling somebody how to go to heaven than the old saints. If they don't watch it. Well, I'm almost 79 years old. I done met my quota. I didn't reach all that I need to reach. And I have been, and I have done, and I have, and I have, and I have, and I'm an old has-been. It's not what you have done, it's what are you doing. What are you doing now? And I believe we ought to serve the Lord until you can't go anymore, till there's nothing left. There are simple, basic, minimum principles a lost man needs to understand in order to be saved. Even though some people may already know that they are sinners, going to die, and cannot save themselves, it's still best to cover these points. So I want to show you how I have for 60 years presented the gospel. Because I believe that the way that I do it is true to the scriptures. I believe it's one of the best ways to explain it to the lost man. And I have won people to Christ all over. And with the YouTube now, I get people who email me every day that trusted Christ as Savior somewhere in the world. When I'm snoring at home, I'm winning people to Christ. And that's not a joke. Here's something that's very simple. And even in Bible college, we had to learn. Ray Stanford made me learn these seven steps. At first, I rebelled against it. Because I use the Roman road and he can use whatever he wants to, and I have my way and he has his way. Until I picked up a hitchhiker one day on my way to school, and that day I was supposed to do the wallet illustration in the class. We had to do it. And I thought, I will not. I don't know why there was a rebellious streak in me. I got my way. He can do whatever he wants to, but I don't have to do it like he does it. So I picked up this hitchhiker and I was trying to explain him to him how to go to heaven the best I knew how. Well, I wasn't doing too good. I could not get him to understand it. So I pull over the side of the road and I says, can I show you something? I pull out my wallet. And I went through it and I explained it to him. I says, that makes sense. He says, man, I've never heard anything like that before. He trusted Christ as Savior. I went to class that day and I went off up there and I did the wallet illustration. And I said, I want to do it the best I possibly can until I find something better. Well, 60 years later, I still haven't found anything better. But we have all sinned. The wages of sin is death. You must be perfect to go to heaven. Man cannot earn his salvation. Christ died for our sins. Only believe, and you can know you're going to heaven when you die. You say, you cover all that with every person you talk to, every bit of them. And I can do that in about 3 minutes. Almost most of the people I lead to Christ is done in about 3-4 minutes. It does not take long. Not if you strip away all the junk and give them the truth of the gospel, and you'd be surprised. No, I don't take to the lost man. Number one. Number two. Point number three. I don't do that. It's all done as it flows. And it builds. Each one of these, you've got to establish this, then this, and then this. When you build a house, you don't put the roof on first. You start with the foundation. Then you've got to have some walls to hold up that roof. So there's things that you do. And in a person's mind, they'll understand it better. If you put it in a sequence, they can follow and understand, because this, if this is true, then this is true. And if this is true, then this is true. And I try to put it together. And I think it's better. A full explanation of these seven truths that are given at the moment of presentation will produce a saved soul with a better understanding of his salvation, and it will eliminate a lot of questions and doubts after you leave them. I don't have to do as much follow-up as most people do, because they understand what I said. Most people, when they come to our church, they don't have to come 10 times before they finally understand what you're talking about. Generally, if they're a first-time visitor, they can understand it the first time. Now you watch, somebody's not going to understand it today, and it's going to be my fault. He will have a greater assurance, peace, and stability of his salvation. He should know what he believes and know why. If I was to ask you, where are you going to die? Going to heaven. How do you know? I don't know. I believe on Christ. Oh, great. Do you have eternal life? I don't know. And a lot of people are just like that. And there's a multitude of churches. We don't need missionaries that do that. We need missionaries that will be true and straight with the gospel and make it clear. A man will have or be more susceptible to doubts and insecurities about his salvation when one or more of these points are not fully explained, because, see, questions and doubts become something they don't know. Questions and doubts become something not explained. It wasn't clear. So the better job you do on the presentation of the gospel will help them long after you've left them. This is one of the things that was so neat about when I went to Florida Bible College. You didn't have to wait. You became a pastor of a church to win people to Christ. They could take a freshman and turn him loose on souls. And they could go out and win people to Christ. Some of them, after maybe their second year, third year, they could direct a ranch. There used to be over 100 Christian youth ranches at one time that came out of Florida Bible College that used to sit on that little stool and pick a little guitar and have a Bible study. And these college kids could win hundreds of kids to Christ. I ought to know. I was one of them. Hank Linson was one of them. Wally Marilla was one of them. Lee Patton was one of them, and the hundreds of others. And it swept across this country as a movement that you've never seen. As Donald Trump would say, the greatest of all time. A child of God never matures if there are doubts about his salvation being eternally secure. You see, if you're always looking at your works and try to prove you're saved, then you have every reason to doubt your salvation. If it's a spiritual birth, then that's born of the Spirit, and you can't see the Spirit, and you're not saved by your works, then there can be no works to prove that you're saved. And yet everybody wants to judge them by their, well, you'll know them by their fruit. Judge them by their fruit. He's talking about in Matthew chapter 7, the false teacher has a false message, and they have a false hope, and they're not trusting in Christ. And they're the ones, the false teachers, to judge them by their fruit. Because they always question their salvation. They're not sure. They believe you can lose your salvation. You don't build a house on the insecurity of shifting sand. Are you married? Well, yes, I am. Do you have a wife? I don't know. Tyler, are you married? Do you have a wife? I think so. I hope so. Or do you know so?
I know so.
God bless you, buddy. Are you saved? Yes, I am. Do you have eternal life? Well, I don't know. If you don't know you have eternal life, how do you know you're saved?
Yeah.
You're not saved because you prayed a prayer, or because you walked an aisle, or because you raised your hand. None of that ever saved you. Did you or did you not believe that what God said He meant, and you trusted Him as your Savior? If you didn't trust Christ as your Savior, you are not saved. And everybody gets saved exactly the same way. By you trusting Christ and Him giving you eternal life. There is no other salvation. So people who, well, they have a hope-so salvation. Or they think they can lose your salvation. You can't lose what God gave as a gift freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ. Christ with our propitiation, the satisfaction for our sins. Being saved is not just a word, it has a meaning. To be saved means all your sins are paid. Is that what you believe when you say, I'm saved? You mean all your sins are paid. You believe that? To be saved means you're not going to hell today, tomorrow, or forever. It means I can't go to hell. It's impossible for me to go to hell. Why? Because I'm saved. Saved from something to something. I'm saved from hell to inheritance that's incorruptible. And fadeth not away reserved in heaven for me. So I've already been saved. I never have to do it again. How many times can God give me eternal life as a free gift? How many times do I get born into this world? How many times do you get born in God's family? So once you're saved, you must be always saved. To be saved means you're going to heaven when you die. Is that what you mean when you say, I'm saved? I've been in a lot of churches and I've had a lot of people say they're saved. But they just don't know where they're going when they die. Then saved to them has no meaning. But there's a lot of preachers that let's just get them saved and then we'll teach them this other doctrine later. Eternal security is not a separate doctrine in salvation. It is the gospel. That is what makes it good news. It's not good news to be saved for a moment or saved for a day or saved for a week or even saved for a year. Good news is I'm saved forever. To be saved means you have eternal life. And if it's eternal life, how long would that last? If it lasts forever and all my sins are paid, where am I going when I die? See, I know I have eternal life. I know I'm going to heaven when I die. You say, well, how do you know? Because I'm so good. No. There's a commercial they had on TV, and this guy's out there, the monster's going to get him in the water, and there's this woman on the beach, and she said, no. I thought, that woman ought to make $1 million. She probably did. To be saved means you have eternal life. And you can know that when. He that believeth in me hath, present tense, right now, hath what? Eternal life. Either you believe it or you don't believe it. If you really believe it, you can say, I got it. You see, the declaration of the gospel and the declaration of your faith is, I have what I'm supposed to get when I trust Him as my Savior. Being saved is not just a word. It's a meaning. There's a meaning to it. Now, when you say you are saved, is this what you mean? If not, then exactly what do you mean? What can a person be saved, or how can he be saved without knowing these truths? So, that's why these things are so important. The question is then, how does he know he's saved? Is it because we told him they were saved? Last thing I ever want to do is give a person a false hope, and that person spend eternity in hell. And there's a lot of people that are not clear on the gospel. It would truly be a shame to try and convince a person that they are saved when in reality they are not. And you take a man like John MacArthur, and he's telling people things that is not biblical, that they have to make Christ the Lord and the master of their life. It means that's a promise to commit to serve. Salvation is a decision to trust. Serving the Lord is a decision to commit. So there's two different things. Salvation is totally and always by grace and grace alone. You tell me how you can convince someone they're saved without convincing them about eternal security. You figure out how you're going to do it. You can't do it. Because a man can't know he's saved until he knows he's going to heaven. Why, when I trust Christ as my Savior, remember, I've always said this. You can't know you're going there until you know you can't go there. If there's a possibility I can still go there, then you can't know that you're going there. And I can't go there because I know that I'm going there. And everybody ought to know where they're going when they die. Isn't that one of the opening statements we said? If you could know that you could go to heaven when you die, wouldn't you like to know? What did you just say? If you could know that you could go to heaven when you die, wouldn't you like to know? And then we talk to them and we never tell them how they can know they're going to heaven. We got them saved, but they don't know where they're going when they die. But we'll let them figure that out later. It don't work that way. You can produce a false hope and they not understand it. A couple of salvation verses clearly explained will accomplish more than 100 verses with little explanation. At the same time, too little information will not get the job done. Which one of these 7 points of truth do you think is not necessary for a lost man to understand in order to be saved? Well, you think about this. You don't want to strip away things that a lost man needs to know. But you don't want to add in more than you need to talk about. I don't talk about serving God until I explain the gospel and get them to understand and trust Christ as Savior. Then there's a lot of explanations you can do. Which one of these 7 points of truth do you think is not necessary? In other words, we talk to a lost man, we don't have to tell him this. We have all sinned. Do you think that's an important point for a lost man to understand that we've all sinned? If he hasn't, then what does he need a Savior for? So we believe that everybody ought to know, hey, we've all sinned. You don't tell a lost man, you know, you're a sinner, I'm a saint. Don't usually come across too good. But we've all sinned. Don't you believe that this is an important truth? I believe that he needs to know that he has sinned because the second truth is based upon this truth. Why? Because, well, what is it? The wages of sin is what? Well, see, that truth follows that other truth. And there's things that you want to get in order. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, our death results in eternal separation from God and a little fire burning in hell. And I don't mind telling a lost person that. I want them to know that when you trust Christ as Savior, He's saving you from a literal fire burning hell. And if you don't trust Christ as Savior, no damage. No, it doesn't bother you. I mean, it doesn't really matter. No, yes, it does matter. And it's serious. Should we leave this truth out? I don't think so. I think we need to add that in. So I always add this in. Must be perfect to go to heaven because you see, most people think they're good enough. You see, how would you got to do to go to heaven? Be good? Are you good? Oh, yes. I mean, I haven't murdered anybody. I haven't robbed a bank. But are you perfect? Well, no, nobody's perfect. Well, there's a perfect God and a perfect heaven and you have to be perfect to go to heaven. Nobody's perfect. How can a sinful man go to a perfect place and be with a perfect God? God requires perfection to enter heaven. Don't you agree that a lost man needs to know that he's not good enough to go? I wouldn't leave that out. I always add that in. Because see, if I can get them to understand certain things, when I get through, it's so easy for them to trust Christ as Savior. And I've had people say, how come you seem like you can lead them to the Lord? And other people have such a hard time leading people to the Lord. Because maybe I make it clear. Maybe I stay simple. Peggy, you've been out there. Where's Peggy? Peggy? Over there hiding. You've watched me in ranch for years. True? Yes. Am I telling you the truth? This is what I do. Absolutely. And I've taught thousands and thousands of people. And we've had thousands and thousands and thousands trust Christ as Savior through our youth ministry. And that's not a joke. Next point I want you to see. Man cannot earn his salvation. See, a lot of people think they can merit salvation. They can earn it. And so this is where a lot of times preachers tell, well, you have to qualify. You got to stop this and start this and change this and all that and try to get them to live as a saint of 50 years. There's a lost man. He doesn't have to stop one sin. If a man came in here and he's a drunkard, he's on dope, or he's running around on his wife, he's got 5 girlfriends he's shacked up with and all that. And you know what most people tell him? You got to stop all of that. No, he does not. He does not have to stop one sin. Not one. Well, if he gets saved, he won't do that. That's not the issue. His sins is not the issue. Christ paid for those sins. Past, present, future. You mean to tell me he can trust Christ as Savior and still keep living like that? Yes! And any man who tells you differently is ashamed of the gospel. I don't apologize for the gospel. Because if that's not true, none of us is going to heaven. Because we can see those big sins, but you can't see those little sins like jealousy and envy and bitterness and hatred. And every person in this room is guilty of it. You want them to turn from all of their sins, but we haven't even turned from ours. Do you think for a moment that I am now above sin? You don't believe that? Well, slap my mouth. And yet we want a lost man to live like a preacher that's been doing it for 50, 60 years. It ain't going to happen. You tell him the truth. God loves you. He hates your sin, but He loves you. When He went to the cross, He died to pay for all those sins. And if you'll trust Him as your Savior, He'll give you eternal life. Grace means you don't have to merit it. Grace means you don't have to stop it. Grace means you don't have to change. Grace means it's free. Grace says, I'll give you eternal life and it's forever. That's grace. But many people don't really believe salvation is by grace. It's by grace and your works. So anyway, I don't believe that we can leave this truth out. Christ died for our sins. Are you going to leave that out? You think we ought to leave that out? And the reason I'm telling you all of this is because there's some people who believe that just believe in Jesus and you go to heaven and you have eternal life. That's all you have to do, but it's not all you need to know. Christ died for our sins. For He hath made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. You see, Christ took my sins, and when I believe it, He gives me His righteousness. If God gave me His righteousness, that would make me as righteous as God. And I'm going to heaven because of what He did for me, not what I do for Him. That's the best news I ever heard. And God declares me justified. You see, here's God, He's just. Here's Yankee, He's not. Christ died for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, so that God can look at me and find no fault in me. No fault in me. And that's why I can live with Him for all eternity. Because He not only paid for my sins, but when I believe it, He forgives me. Now that He knows He needs a Savior, doesn't it make sense to tell Him about the only one there is? About what Christ did? This is why we need to believe on Him. Though Christ died for the sins of the world, doesn't mean that the world is going to heaven. They can. Their payments have been made. But you have to believe it. And when you believe it, He gives you as a free gift eternal life, and He'll never cast you out and never lose you. What do you have to do to go to heaven? Only believe. You mean that's all you got to do? You got to do more than that. Who says so? God says He made heaven. God says He made hell. And God says how you get there, and He says only believe. Well, you got to do more than that. Didn't you hear what He said? God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Some people say, God so loved the world that He gave His only forgotten Son. Begotten Son, that whosoever, anybody, whosoever believeth in Him, it's only required. Gave two guarantees in that verse. One, that you'll never perish. Two, you have everlasting life. And it's in the same chapter where He says, if you're born again, you get to see it and enter it. And this is how you're born again. Believing that God so loved Yankee Arnold, that He gave His only begotten Son as a payment for my sin. You, why I don't have to pay for my sin? Because I got somebody who paid it for me. Now I can say I got a payment due on my car and it's $12,000. $12,000. And if Tom Kakuza wants to give me $12,000 and pay my car payment, I will accept it. Christ paid for my sins. I don't have to pay for my sins. You say you don't deserve that. That's what grace is. Don't you get it? Amen. That's what is grace. Since this is the only requirement for us to appropriate the payment to our account and to apprehend this free gift of eternal life, we must definitely include this truth. Don't you believe that you ought to tell them what they got to do? And if we tell them that, well, shouldn't they know what they get if they do that? You can know you have eternal life. 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that keep the Ten Commandments and obey the golden rule and give 50% to Calvary Community Church hath everlasting life. Did I say it wrong? And there's a lot of people that say it wrong. But the Bible says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may what? Know you have eternal. And the only way you can know you have it, it must be free. It must be a gift. Since this is what we are after, what? Eternal life. We ought to know that we have it. These things have I written unto you that believe. When you believe, when should you know you have eternal life? 6 years down the road, most people are never followed up. We probably got a lot of babies all over the place. I'd rather have a child go to heaven in diapers than not go to heaven at all. But we know when they understand the truth of the gospel and they know they're saved, and the first thing they use is something, and they want to tell somebody, this is good news. Temporary salvation is not good news, and there's nothing to tell. Well, there's nothing you know. But eternal security, that's a guarantee. That's worth telling people about. That's worth paying the price and being a missionary and going to all the world, because you've got something to tell them. And it's true, and it's from God, and that's grace. You think we ought to leave that out? There's a lot of preachers that say we ought not tell them this. I had a Baptist person tell me one day. I asked him, I said, do you believe in eternal security? He says, yes, but we don't tell the lost man. We don't tell the Christian that. Or the lost man that. We don't never tell the lost man that. Because that's a family secret. It's a family secret. I thought that was the gospel. And it did a wonder for me. So let me give this to you. A poor presentation of the gospel is better than no presentation. But a concise, clear, thorough presentation will greatly enhance your productivity. You want to win a person to Christ, you want them to understand that when you finish talking to them, they ought to know where they're going when they die and why. True? Because if they don't know that, what do they know? It's not about getting the gospel out. It's getting in the cross. If the person that you're talking to doesn't understand what you said, you may understand it, but they're the one that needs to understand it. So if these seven principles are presented in this exact order, and each step is clearly explained to the lost man, it will greatly increase the probability of this, of his understanding of the gospel for salvation. Remember, the gospel is not clear just because you understand what you said. It's when the lost man understands what you said. And the only way you know if he understands what you said is, does that make sense? Now let's step into it. Does that make sense? Do you see why all you can do is trust Christ as your Savior? Does that make sense? And if you trust Christ right now as your Savior, what does he say he gives you? Eternal life. And if you can know you have eternal life, can you know for certain you're going to heaven? So let me just pretend if I see you 10 years from now and I ask you, where are you going when you die? What would you tell me? Now their answer will reveal whether they understand. I'm going to heaven. How do you know? I always say, Christ died for my sins. That's the only reason any of us in this room is going to heaven. Christ died for my sins. It's not because, well, I've been good. I turned from my sins. I committed my life to Christ. None of those is the answer, and none of those work, and that's a false gospel. It's a false gospel. It's not a close gospel. It's a false gospel. If we neglect to cover every point, you jeopardize a lost man's ability to fully comprehend the need and the means of salvation. Do not try to reduce the gospel to two or three points and believe you have made it easy to understand. You may not go point by point, but the truth of it should be in there somewhere. But I just find out the sequence helps tremendously, because it helps me know I made it as clear as I know to make it. Instead of just jumping from one to the other and then not remember whether or not did I explain that. Because any truth that I just mentioned, if I leave out, will cause a question of doubt somewhere down the road. And it can make a lot of difference in their spiritual growth. Warning. If someone can preach another Jesus and another spirit, then they can also preach another what? They can preach another gospel. Our gospel must be tested by the purity of grace. It must be totally free, and it must last forever. Any one of those missing, it's not the gospel. If it's not free, it's not the gospel. If it doesn't last forever, it's not the gospel. The good news is eternal security. How that by me trusting Christ as my Savior, I can know I have eternal life and know that I'm going to heaven when I die. And so there are some who will not believe that what I'm saying is that important. If I was lost, man, I'd want somebody to reach me. Tell me the truth. Tell me the truth. If I trust Christ as my Savior, am I going to heaven or not? Well, if I'm going to heaven, you mean there's nothing I can do to keep from going to heaven? I want to know this. This is very important. Because if I can commit a sin and lose my salvation, you can might as well just go ahead and keep it. Because who is living good enough to go to heaven? Nobody ever has, never will. This truth, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God to everyone, unto salvation, to everyone that turns from all of his sins and commits his life to Christ. To believe it. You believe it and you got it. To whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. That is my background for this. Every time I preach, and I've been here 11 years and everybody has watched me do this. And what I just told you is all in this little story. For example, let this hand represent you and me. The wallet represents sin. We all have sin on us. The Bible says, all have sin. Well, you know, that's the first thing I told you, wasn't it? And the wages of sin is death. And because we've all sinned, we're all condemned. We're condemned to be eternally separated from God in a literal fire burning hell. Number two. God says to go to heaven, you have to be perfect, as righteous as God. Heaven is perfect and God is perfect, but we're not. So that's why we need a Savior. So I went from three to number four. Number four, you can't earn eternal life. You can't work your way to heaven. Heaven is not a reward that God gives to you because you earned it. He's gone to his reward. If you haven't trusted Christ, he ain't going there. So you need a Savior. Number five, Christ died. Let this hand represent Jesus Christ. He's the Lord God in the flesh. Came into this world. Why? Because he loved us. He hates our sin because our sin separates us from him. So Jesus Christ, who had no sin, did not have to die. But because he loved us, he took all the sin of all the world and died and paid for our sins. Paid for our sins. Came back from the dead. And said the only thing he wanted us to do to appropriate this payment he made for me was to believe he did it for me. So when I believe he did it for me, he puts this payment to my account. The reason I can't go to hell is because I don't have any sins to pay for. Don't you understand that? You get it? I don't have any sins to pay for. He paid for my sin. Christ died for my sins. And he says, when I believe this, he that believeth on me hath, present tense, hath what? Everlasting life. So see, I covered all of that, and I can do that in less than, in about a minute and a half, 2 minutes. But that simplicity in a person's mind, a lost man's mind. The first time that I went to Northside Baptist Church, Tim King was sitting there, and he saw me do this, and he trusted Christ as his Savior. Some of y'all might know Tim King. John Henry walked in and he saw me doing the wallet illustration. And now he'd come to college and now he's up there as assistant pastor to Freddie Coyle. But where do they come from? Because the clarity of the gospel makes the difference. That's where you get your workers from. I had a man tell me one time, well, I could build a work like you if I had the workers you got. Where, pray tell, do you think I got them? Imported them all? Paid them big money? No, you raised them up from inside. And that's what I want to talk to you about in just a minute. Let's pray, shall we? Every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around. If you are here and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, if you're watching by internet, the only thing you have to do is the only thing you can do. Will you believe that when Christ died, he died for you? He paid for your sins. And if you trust him right now as your Savior, he said he'd give you as a free gift eternal life. You can know that you're going to heaven when you die. Now, if you're here with us today and you've never trusted the Lord, I'm not going to have you forward, not going to embarrass you, but I am going to ask you in just a moment to raise your hand. Raising your hand because your heads are bowed. I just want to know if what I said made sense to you. And I'd like to have prayer for you in closing. So is there anyone all this morning, right where you are, and just as quick as you can, let me know that you trusted Christ as your Savior this morning. You say, I believe that, preacher. That made sense to me. And I want to know that I'm going to heaven and I'm going to trust Christ as my Savior. Would you just slip your hand very quickly and put it right back down? Is anyone at all? Anyone at all? Just slip it up and put it right back down. Anyone at all? I'm just looking around the room. Sometimes I don't see everything. But if you're watching over my internet, on the screen says, yes, I'll trust Christ as my Savior. I pray that you will. It's the best news in all the world. Father, we thank you so much for all you've done for us. Thank you for this time together. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.